North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? I'm going to see you in a minute here. They're going to bring up those lights. I'm going to be able to see you, look right in your beautiful eyes. I tell you, they test a pastor's emotional capacity when they put together a video that shows his youngest daughter being baptized right before he gets up to preach. So if there's a crack in my voice, it's either puberty again, or it is that I just saw my youngest daughter get baptized. So, thank you, Lord. Hey, I'm privileged to be able to kick off this new series that we're calling Faith at Work. The title of my message, the idea of what I'm going to be talking about today, is the idea of work matters, right? Not just the work matters, but that work matters. It's a tough subject for some of us that are here, because I know that in any group of this size, we have some people that say, I've got more work than I want. I've got work that I don't want. I've got not enough work. I need work. Anything in between that, right? That sometimes work can be a tough subject. And I know that there's also some here today that are going, Pastor Chad, what you don't understand is I come to church so I don't have to think about work, right? Well, most of the times that's true, but today we're going to be talking about work. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing that. But before we dive into the message and look at what God's word has to say about work, and talk about how work is both an attitude and the effort that goes with it, I wanted to do a little math with you today. So for those of you that were here for my big equation that I did a series or two back, I promise you it won't be an equation, okay? But if you feel nervous, let me bring up the subject of math from where you're sitting. Imagine how I feel being up here on stage talking about math, okay? So I'm going to give you three numbers. They all connect with one another based on the topic that we're talking about today. I want you to try to figure out how these numbers correlate with one another. Okay, ready? 1,960, 44, and 91,250. Now, if you're in the first service, you can't cheat and yell out the answers because you've already heard the answers. So that's how you know, right? Anybody else? Anybody have a guess of what those numbers might relate to, what they're... All right, well, I'm glad we don't have shouters in the house today. That's okay. It's more of a rhetorical question, even though I was asking it directly with you. But the number, 1,960, are the amount of hours that are worked if somebody's working just a plain 40-hour a week job through 1 year's time. So if you didn't do overtime and you did a full-time job, you worked 1,960 hours this year. So give yourselves a hand for that, right? The number 44 is the amount of years of the average worker spends while in some career path. Maybe not with the same one, but their working life frame from when they start working to when they retire is 44 years. So we spend 44 years working 1,960 hours a week. And if you put those numbers together, you multiply that together over 44 years, you will have invested 91,250 hours in whatever career path that you are currently a part of or something very close to that. Now, I say that for a couple of reasons. One, to just give you kudos. When work feels hard, it's because work can be hard, right? That's why they call it work. It's why they give us a check at the end of our work, right? That's part of what's happening there. But it's also the reminder that as Christ followers here at North Rock, God has given us a spirit of the way that we go about our work. Would you agree with that? That as Christ followers, that God has a plan for our vocation, for our career, for our work, right? Bible has much to say on the subject. I'm not going to be able to hit on everything, though I love being at the front end of our series because I can steal all the rest of the speaker's thunder if I want to, but I'm not going to. I'm only going to do my part, okay? But if we are to find that sweet spot in our work life where our passion and our gifting and our calling and our life experience all kind of collide in this idea of our vocation, it takes a little bit more than the show up and punch the clock mentality. Wouldn't you agree with that? In fact, it requires a Holy Spirit-empowered viewpoint. And as we view our work differently, we'll go about our work differently. And so my privilege today is to remind all of us that when we go to work as God works in us and through us into the places that he's called us to go to work, okay? As our dear friend, Pastor Andrew, reminded us again today, living theologically doesn't just happen when we're gathered together. It happens when we're at work. In fact, 91,250 hours of it are going to take place at work. And so at work is when the natural and the supernatural living kind of come together, right? It's where our beliefs and our behaviors kind of have a head-on collision and they meet. It's where our theology and our praxis come together and connect, okay? In other words, it's where what we believe gets tested and worked out in work life, okay? So the first scripture I wanted to talk about today, it's one that I'm going to be kind of centralizing my thoughts and ideas about today. It comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. If not, we're going to pop it up here behind me on the screen. We're going to hit several different passages today because, again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what Pastor Chad said. It only matters what God's Word says to us as a people, right? So Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people." Now, I know that as I say that, many people are like, yeah, I know that one. I remember learning that one. I've got that one memorized. But how many of you guys would be so transparent and honest as I am today to say it's a lot easier to quote it than it is to live it, right? Work willingly, right? That's an attitude. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. So the purpose of this scripture is to remind those that go to work that we're not just working for whatever badge we're wearing. We're not just working for whatever employer we have. We're working as unto the Lord, right? And that's important because we all have a dynamic state of emotions, don't we? How many of us would be honest enough today to say, my boss ticked me off this week at some point? I can't say that because I've got a couple of pastors here. They know my boss, and yeah, so we can't talk about that today. You have to get the first service notes on that one, right? How many of us would say, at work this week, I might have had a little stinking thinking. I might have had a bad attitude or two or three or 17 based on the circumstances, the challenges, and the things that were going on, right? Work stresses us out. It's why they give you a paycheck to show up so that you do the job. And the job gets done, and then they remunerate based on that. But the good news is that the Bible teaches us, and God's purpose in our life teaches us, that there's more to work than just getting that paycheck at the end of the day. Right? Because if that's all it's about, just the personal finance that I receive, then we're missing so much of what God wants to do in our work, because work matters, okay? So I'd like to suggest that God intends to do more than just give us personal resource through our employers, and that he really does have a purpose for all that's released in work. Not just our purpose, his purpose at work in us. So three reasons that I'd like to suggest to you this morning. One, why does work matter? Work matters because work matters to God. We believe that? Work matters to God. The way we do our work matters to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Like, everybody wants to stop that verse right there, don't we, right? We know that on all things God works for the good of those who love him, comma, who have been called according to his purpose. That's a good promise today, because I know that some of us that are here today are going, I'm going to work, I'm punching the clock, I'm doing the grind, I'm working as well as I can, but I don't see God's purpose in the work that I'm doing right now, right? The reason that work matters is because work matters to God, because the purpose is his. That he puts us in those places in order to reveal himself and the work that he wants to do in us, through us, and to us, right? Any of you guys ever watch TV a little bit, like the show that came on, Undercover Bosses? Anybody ever watch that show? I love that show because it's this whole kind of idea where they take the owner of a company that's gone kind of national or international, and it's just blown up and had all this success, and people know of the president's name, but they don't know him personally. They just know that he, you know, meets in some big, you know, skyscraper in the sky and makes a bunch of decisions that affects their work. And so they put him in undercover. They put makeup on him and kind of change what he looks like, and then he send them into that job as a first hire, as someone who's just coming onto the job. Anybody ever watch that show? I love that show for a couple reasons. One, it's hilarious to watch these bosses like react when they see what's happening in their companies, right? They're like, oh my gosh, that is not the training requirement that we set up when we first started, right? Or the part that I love the most are the stories of their generosity and their kindness towards their workers when they realize that, hey, man, these guys are really doing a great job for us, and we're not giving them the level of remuneration that they deserve, right? Like, I love those stories where he takes care of their colleges or he pays off a house or does something for somebody that's struggling because of that, because I think that reflects God's heart in our work, right? That it just said, what we just read was that God causes the good for those who love him and what we've been called to for his purposes. How many of us believe that today? Right? That's encouragement to my soul. That's a reminder to me. It goes, even when the hard days, even when my boss is, you know, not having his best day, for lack of a better way to say it, right? Even when they're on my last nerve, right, somebody, that it's God at work in that midst to do good. Not just for me, but for all those that would be a part of the work that we're doing, okay? So whether we're a cook, or whether we're a mechanic, or whether we're a pastor, or whether we're a teacher, or whether we're a whatever we are called to do, there's this idea that our vocation, our job, this work that we do, is a calling that God has for us, okay? So work matters to God. And in the same way, what Pastor Andrew made the point of today, that we can't separate the way that we are generous in this world from our spirituality, we can't separate the secular and the sacred in this supernaturally infused identity that Jesus has for us. Wherever we are, we are. Amen. Right? Wherever we are, we are. And going back to that very first passage that I said, Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. You know, if we just did that one thing, do you know how much the perception of society would shift towards the Christian? Like people have all kinds of opinions nowadays, right, about what church is and what Christians are, and usually those aren't very flattering, right? Can I just tell you that they're not in here right now learning about who we are? They're taking their cues from where? From our work. So like, we can just get this one thing, church. We can just do this one thing and remember that work matters to God and show up and punch in and punch out. With that on our minds, it's going to make a huge difference, not just in the success and the trajectory of the careers that we have, but in the lives of our employers and the lives of those who are onlookers, seeing our lives lived out in both sacred and secular society. Amen? So I know that's a lot of S's. That's what they train us pastors to do, right? That's what they train us to do. So the second thing that I'd like to suggest to you this morning is that work matters to ourselves and our families, right? If we're honest, most of us would stand up and we'd say, the reason I get up at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, whatever it is, whenever you start your job, is because baby needs new shoes. Beans got to be put out on that table, right? Houses cost a lot these days in Colorado. Can I get a witness up in here? Right? The cost of living continues to escalate, so I go to work. And sometimes I go to work begrudgingly because I'm not seeing the whole purpose in it, right? Work matters to God. Work matters to ourselves and our families. And in my work as a life-forming leadership coach, one of the privileges that I have is working with leaders to help them arrive at that kind of intersection of where their faith and their gifting and their passion and their work all kind of collide. And it's in those moments where they get that idea, the deepest sense of satisfaction in their work, when they discover and they say, you know what, that's really my purpose. Like, God has been working ahead of me. He's been coming behind me to prepare me for what it is that he's created me to do. How many of you guys, as you sit here today, know that God has created you for something? Amen. He's created you for two of the things we just talked about, right? Those verses are directly related to our ability to navigate the work world in our lives. So it matters to us. It matters to our families. There's intended in this idea of vocation or work to be a sense of fulfillment and mission as we work out our purpose in this world. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. It says this, "So I saw that there is nothing better, there's nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work because this is their lot." Can I just be the pastor who dumps a little water on us a little bit today? It doesn't just refresh us, but it brings us back to clarity that, like, The fairy godmother is not going to show up and just deliver you out of wherever you're at with work and your needs, right? It's not how it works, right? But if we can shift the way we think about work, if we can see that the provision that we have, the job that we have is a blessing from God, that he has a purpose in it, that he's crafted me for this season to do something in that, it gives us a greater sense of accomplishment than just making widgets or punching reports or typing things or whatever it is that God has skilled you to do, right? Timothy Keller, in the book Every Good Endeavor, says this. He relates the idea of a job being equal to a calling. And I know I'm using those as interchangeable terms right now, and that's the purpose for that's the reason I'm doing it. Because the Latin word vocare means to call, okay? So the root word for vocation, so vocare, vocation, right? To call is calling and vocation. And he says this, he says that work can be a calling only if it's reimagined as a mission of service to something beyond merely our own interests. Right? That if all we do is go to work for a paycheck, you're never going to experience the level of satisfaction that Jesus has for you in it. That's his purpose, to provide for us and give purpose to the world, right? In a sense, we become culture makers as we go about the work that God's called us to, all right? Good enough? Work matters to God. Work matters to us individually. It matters to our families. And I'd like to suggest that work matters to others. Pastor and theologian named Frederick Buechner writes that your calling is found where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet together. Is that good? So there's a need in the world, right? World's deep hunger and our deep gladness, where those two worlds intersect. What is that for you? And it may not be what you're currently doing, and that's okay, right? Because not everybody is in their ideal career path at this time. But if we can find a way to see God's purpose in what we do as a purpose for providing provision and purpose for us, then we can also begin to think about cultivating what it is that we dream about. I want you to just take a minute and let the Lord speak to you in that. What is it that you know that you could be the best in the world at? What is it that God has put a deep sense of hunger and passion in you for? I know it's in there. I know some of us are walking it out right now, and I'm getting the amen look from you. And then other ones are going, oh man, like I never even thought about work like that. I just go to work because of the beans thing, right? Because of the needs thing, right? We're going to spend 44 years doing what we're doing. We might as well enjoy it. We might as well do something that leaves an impact on our society, right? So, because of this message, and because I have meetings throughout the week with different people, I was in a meeting with a guy named Adrian Dalstra, who's sitting right up here on the right-hand side of our congregation here, sipping his coffee, getting ready to come up here and join me. And he made the fatal mistake of sharing with your pastor how much you love your job and why you love your job and how God's kind of designed you for it on the week that you're talking to your congregation about work. So what is that? Like automatically he's part of my sermon. I'm saying, dude, you have to come to two services. You got to get up here and tell your story. So would you please welcome Adrian Dalstra. So Adrian is going to help me illustrate why our work matters to others, okay? So Adrian works for a company called Uplift Colorado. He is a site operations manager, and I have no idea what that means other than what he told me over coffee this week. And so would you just share with us a little bit of your journey of how you got there, what Uplift does, and kind of what you do with Uplift as the operations site manager?
Yeah, so the company is actually called Colorado Uplift.
Uplift Colorado.
So just to let you guys know, if you guys want to look it up, it's a great company. But before I even get into that, you guys are probably like wondering, some guys, I saw him, he's a great guy. He actually came over just to say hi to us. Like this guy, I have a tendency when everybody's like, hey, greet You know, when you guys tell us to greet, I just turn around, shake the hands of the people behind me. But then there's those people that really, like, want to meet everybody.
Right. Those are our extroverts. Yeah, yes,
and,
yeah.
And this guy, he was like, man, you look like Jesus. And then I saw him go around the congregation and really share. I think that's my man over there.
Yeah.
But I was... give you props, man. So it made me think, man, I need to do more venturing out than just like shaking the people behind me. So.
That's good.
But so, yes, I do look a little bit like Jesus. I try to act a little bit more like him because that's kind of the key.
Especially if they mistake identity all the time, right? Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. So
that's the whole idea, is that they mistake our identity for Jesus. You bet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although I fall short of that. So
yeah, you and me both, brother.
And then also I have a wife and a child who was here in the first service, and they aren't here. But it gave you guys a perspective because my son came up a couple times, and I really had buy-in to everybody, the congregation. So I want to have buy-in with you guys. So I do have a wife and a son, and I gave them a shameless plug. And
they're amazing.
So. And they're amazing. They are truly amazing. And one of my best friends who I've known forever, actually before I even met my wife, I got to sit with him. So, which he's not as attractive as my wife, but
no.
Daniel, you can share and maybe get up and say hi to everybody if you want.
But, all right, now that we've introduced everybody in the congregation,
yeah,
tell me about Colorado Uplift and how you got there.
So the company, the company is simply this. We work in DPS, so Denver Public Schools, and APS, Aurora Public Schools as well. We have a number of teacher mentors, and we go and we teach classes. And the classes is it's an elective class that teaches 13 character qualities and life skills for inner city at-risk youth. And one of our vision statements is simply to build long-term, life-changing relationships with urban youth. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are probably wondering why a white Jesus-looking man can understand or relate to these inner-city kids. But I could share a little bit about my story so you guys can understand how I connect with these kids. And a part of that is I grew up in a single parent home, my mom, and four brothers. And before I was in the sixth grade, I grew up in the inner city myself, four boys. We were in and out of foster home. Before I was in the sixth grade, I remember just counting in my head. We moved to 36 different schools, not even the houses in the schools, just moving, you know, whether we got evicted or we had to move on to another trailer park or another HUD home, Section 8, something like that. So I understood the struggle. I understand the struggle with a lot of these kids. And so for me, identifying, relating, having grace for the kids that I work with is like on a daily that I see with these kids. And I love and appreciate the stuff that we teach because just like I had a mentor in my life, pour into my life, not just one mentor, but many mentors that I gave a chance to really give me a paradigm shift, if you will, or change my trajectory, my perspective, I get to do with kids, middle school, high school. We even teach in the elementary, too. It's just a sweet program that really is like about the heart of God, really going into the inner city. And so much so that before I started working there, when I had the interview, I was like, praying about it. I was like, God, did you create a job around who I am? Because I was a youth pastor for a long time. And for me to say, I want to do something that reaches kids where I was at, you know, something that I was like, and I know not everybody can speak to those kids and have that same conversation and saying, you know, like, I understand what, you know, physical abuse is. I understand what sexual abuse is. I understand these things that happened in my own life that I can relate to you on that level. And I felt that calling when you were talking about vocation, that's what I wanted to do and that there is a job out there. Hmm. And it's called Colorado Uplift. So, and we are hiring right now.
Shameless plug. That's exactly. Okay. It's all good.
But I absolutely love what we do, and that's kind of just the bird's eye view of what we do in our program. So
yep. Now you've been with them 6 years, is that correct?
Yep.
Six years. So over that 6 years, how many hours, how many kids do you think that you've had a personal impact with?
Within the year? Or
within the career? Years. Within the 6 years you've been there.
So intentional relationships. Now our program reaches through DPS and APS schools over 1,200 kids a year. So, and I interact with all of those kids probably on at least a monthly basis, because we all get together from all the schools, from like East High School, George Washington High School, North, Hinckley. We all come together and we do, you know, whether it's we watch a movie together, we go snowboarding with some of these kids. So we have a big connection with our staff members throughout the whole area. But for me, in the last 6 years, intentional relationships that I know I poured into, I've talked to, at least had a couple of one-on-ones with each one of those kids, probably about 600 throughout the year.
And how many hours would you say collectively you've worked with them? In terms of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands?
In the 6 years? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I couldn't.
It's a big number, right?
Big number, yep. Yeah.
How many of you guys would agree with me that Adrian just thinks he's not a youth pastor anymore, right? He just has a lot more access point in those kids' lives, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you one of the things that he said in the first service that really stuck with me as another, you know, at-risk situation, is he said, you don't have at-risk kids, you have at-risk situations with kids involved in them, mm-hmm. right? That the kids are redeemable, the kids can be reached, the kids can be motivated, and you see in that a sense of purpose and passion and calling, meeting what I would consider one of the greatest needs in our society right now, right? So please be praying for Colorado Uplift, be praying for Adrian. And before I dismiss him, I just wanted to ask that last question of, where do you see God joining you in the work that you're doing there at? Or where do you see yourself joining God's work at Colorado Uplift would be a better way to ask that question. What's God up to?
So I shared in the last service that, I mean, that's, for me, it's an easy question, because when I see a career that is targeting for, you know, the needs, the felt needs for kids that, you know, we do take them after school. So not only are we teaching these leadership development skills for these kids that lack it in the home environment, that that's where they should get it, that we get to teach those, like, hey, this is what it means to have positive work ethic. This is what it means to have courage. This is what it means to have integrity when you don't see it at home, you know.
Yep.
So we get to have that in the classroom, and we get to teach on that and to share that. But moreover, when the school hours are done, our hours aren't done. We take the kids home. They give us, we call it the church van. One student's like, the daycare van. So it's like a daycare van. But we get these 12-passenger vans, and we'll take kids up to do adventures. So we really do intentional relationship with kids, where we not only just teach in the class, but we're like, okay, let's put courage to the test. We're going to take you snowboarding, which a lot of these kids haven't passed Wadsworth, and now they're actually going to the mountains that they see every day, but they've never actually been there.
Wow.
And so seeing those kids get on a chairlift for their first time and actually seeing that, you can see it clicking in their head, like, wow, I can do this. I matter to this world that my whole life I've been told I don't matter, you know. And seeing that kind of things click every day, that's beautiful. And then just sharing, there's moments where we get to take these kids home on a daily basis, because they, you know, don't have the affordability to get a bus ticket. And so we're like, hey, you can ride. I'll take you home. And we usually get them like Taco Bell or McDonald's or whatever afterwards. And we just talk to them, build relationships with their families too, and just investing. And then there's moments where you have conversations with kid, because for me, that was the biggest part of my life that got changed, was my relationship with God. And so when I'm talking to them about the hard situations that they deal with, I turn that back around, and I always bring it back to, or at least try to, and not always, but most of the time I try to bring that around and say, God did this to me and helped me in my life, so it really gave me the change, the true change that will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you for what you do with Colorado Offering Community. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I appreciate you. There was one last thing that I wanted to share, and I know we probably
don't right. going. I'm but, just going to cut the rest of this, and we're just at Adrian's.
But I do want to emphasize, because it's easy for me to say, man, it's amazing, it's easy, this work is, and you guys might already understand that it yeah. isn't easy, and that the kids that I work with are hurt kids, and hurt people, and so I see that daily. But I think also through the suck, I really understand and see, yeah. Because of what I went through, it's like, man, the people that are hurting the most need love the most, you know? And the hardest to love usually need the most love.
Come on.
And so with those kids and me seeing the bigger picture, when I see them, you know, doing awesome and then they go derailed somehow, some way with mm-hmm. a situation, I either trust God and I just have that grace because I see the bigger picture and say, you know what, even though it's sucky in this moment with, you know, my team members yeah. or with students in relationship, I always like hope that I'm given the same grace that like somebody has given me, moreover that God has given me, and that kind of keeps me going.
Yeah.
On this, so.
That's good. Well, thank you for doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to take this opportunity with everything else going on. And if you would you just extend your hands to Adrian? Again, I know that our children are important to our society, right? And I know that our teachers, we have many teachers that are part of our congregation. They don't do it for their money. They do it because they have a sense of purpose and calling and shaping this next generation. So would you guys pray with me? Father, we just thank you for Adrian. Lord, thank you for the call of a teacher, call of a mentor, call of this family, Lord, to love people into the wholeness that you see them with, Jesus. And Lord, we agree that there are no at-risk kids. There's only at-risk situations that desperately need the grace of God to reach in, to touch, and to transform their lives the same way you've been gracious to do that through others in our lives. Help us as a church, help us as a people to go about our work in a way that transforms lives, that lifts you up, and that sees you glorified in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless our teachers. Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, I set up this next section called, you know, how do we work this attitude, this mentality, this perspective into our daily grind? But I think I have a new term, thanks to our Jesus-looking preacher that was just up here, right? The daily suck. How do we work through the daily suck of being on the job, right? Now I have your attention. Pastor said daily suck. Hey, I'm going to go really quick through this because I think that there are scriptures here that will help give you something to hold on to when we're in the midst of the battles that we face every day in relationships and in our workplace environments, okay? So a couple of ways to rethink how we think about work. First, we need to recognize that our work is his work, right? There's no difference in his mind. There's not a youth pastor who does something for a couple hours a week and then our work life and then our family life. It's not all compartmentalized. Everywhere we are, right? And everywhere we go, Jesus is with us. And everywhere we go, Jesus is giving us grace for the moment, the conversation, the people, the situation, the work challenges that we're going to face. We have to recognize that our work is his work, that he's active in our work so that we work differently, right, as working as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and I know there's nobody thinking about that right now with it right now being 12:06, right, whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen? So in other words, the work that God provides us is intended for his glory. And if we think about it that way, we'll live into that a little bit more, right? Second thing that I wanted to just remind us of is that God is at work in our work. That even when it looks dim, even when it looks like that person is the last person that will ever receive Jesus, right? I was that person. I was that kid. And some days my wife might still say, you are that person. No one's unreachable. And God's at work in our work, right? Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask for or imagine, according to his purpose that is at work in us, right? not to him who can do all of that. He's at work. Third thing I wanted to remind us of is that our work reveals his work in us. If you worked at a job for a year or 5 or 10 or 15, people are recognizing a transformational aspect of what Jesus is doing in your character, in your attitude, in your work ethic, and all those things. Our work reveals his work in us and gives us opportunity to share the grace that God's applied to our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says it this way, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Does anybody believe that there's some poetic justice and that we just finished a series on grace and now we went right into work, right? Because they're paired up. They're connected. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me." That's the idea, right? Reminded me, as we were preparing this week, of a John Wesley quote. Got pastors in the house, they know who John Wesley is. Great theologian, amazing leader in church. But now it's become coffee mug art. So this amazing man can now be found on coffee mugs. But because it was on there, I thought I'd share it with you. It says, "When thinking about work, do all the good that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places that you can, to all the people that you can, as long as you ever can." Right? That's the idea, is that our work reveals his work. And then finally, the last point is, I asked the worship team to come up here. His work becomes our work. You guys know that it's not just that he joins us in his work, but that we begin to care about his work in the world as he joins us in our work and we integrate that life, right? The life of the local church, the life of his message going around the world, the willingness to participate in that all comes from us recognizing that his work includes me. That there's no role in God's body that's purely passive, purely, you know, I just sit here and watch other people's ministries take place. God's got a vision. God's got a purpose. God's got a mission for your life and my life, and we work that out together in a local church. Amen? See, that's what we saw Jesus do in John chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. You guys remember that passage? It's the one where they're talking to Jesus, and he says, "Listen, hey, the Father's always at work. He's at work to this very day." And he says, "I too am working." What do we do? What does it mean for us to walk out the walk that Jesus has for us? It's that we are about our Father's business when we're at business, right? Or we're at play. I wanted to end with just this quote from Andy Crouch, great book called Culture Making, because that's a lot of what we've been talking about. How do we recover our creative calling? And he basically asked this question that's just kind of resonated in my mind and rattled around all week as we prepared. Asked the question this: I wonder what we Christians are known for in the world outside of our churches. Are we known as critics, consumers, copiers, condemners of culture? I'm afraid so. He goes on to say, why aren't we known as cultivators? People who tend and nourish what is the best in human culture. Who do the hard and painstaking work to preserve the best of what people before us have done. Why aren't we known as creators? People who dare to think and do something that has never been done, never been thought of before. Something that makes the world a more welcoming and more thrilling and beautiful place. That's what work's about, y'all. Work matters because Jesus is at work in our work. Amen? So as we respond to his grace for our work lives, and as your pastor, as I repent of the attitudes, the stinking thinking, me getting it wrong at so many times, I know that we're all feeling that a little bit today too. That our jobs are gifts from God. They're both provision and vision for our lives. Would you rise and worship as our response to the Lord, being reminded today that God's work for us is both a grace and a calling. Amen. Well, thank you for being here at North Rock. As the way we close our services consistently is that we pray a prayer together as a community. And it's for all those that might be with us here, maybe for the first time. Maybe as you stand here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know how to be creative in my calling. The language that you use for my job, like it's the first time I've ever heard it said that way. But I really want to be someone who is both creative in the calling that God's called me to, and I want to identify my sense of purpose. Is there anybody in here today that, that would say that? That we want to be a people who cultivate the very best and that we're creative in finding new ways to express the love of the Lord in this world. And if you're here today and you're just saying, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I have a relationship with Jesus, you can. And we're going to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer. Whether it's your first time or your 50th time, we pray it as a community as we're called to be a family in Christ. So let's pray this prayer, whether it's your first or 50th time. Let's hear you. Lord Jesus, I invited you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. I got a gift for you to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. Otherwise, if you'd like prayer for work or family or any needs you have, we have a prayer team available for that. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week. And remember, your work matters. Amen? Amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.